On today's rendition of Remember the Time, we will be reading Shakespeare's Hamlet. Contain your excitement, folks, as it's about to get started. Bernardo. Who's there? Francisco. Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself. Bernardo. Long live the king. Bernardo? He. You come most carefully upon your hour. 'Tis now struck 12. Get thee to bed, Francisco. For this relief, much thanks. 'Tis bitter cold, and I am sick of heart. Have you heard quiet guard? Not a mouse stirring. Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste. Enter Horatio and Marcellus. I think I hear them. Stand, ho! Who is there? Friends to this ground, and liegemen to the dame. Give you good night. A farewell, honest soldier. Who hath relieved you? Francisco. Bernardo hath my place. Give you good night. Exit, Francisco. Marcellus. Hola, Bernardo. What? Is Horatio there? A peace, sir. Welcome, Horatio. Welcome, good Marcellus. What? Has this thing happened again tonight?
I have seen nothing.
Horatio says 'tis but our fantasy, and will not let belief take hold of him. Touching this dreaded sight twice seen of us, therefore I have entreated him along with us to watch the minute of this night, that if again apparition come, he may approve our eyes and speak to it.
Tush, tush, 'twill not appear.
Sit down a while, and let us once again assail your ears that are so fortified against our story, that we have two nights seen.
Well, sit we down, and let us hear Bernardo speak of this.
Last night of all, when yon same star that's westward from the pole had made his course to loom that part of heaven where now it burns Marcellus and myself, the bell then beating one. Enter Ghost.
Peace! Break thee off. Look where it comes again.
In the same figure, like the king that's dread.
Thou art a scholar. Speak to it, Horatio.
Looks not like the king. Mark it, Horatio.
Most like. It harrows me with fear and wonder.
It would be spoke to.
Speak to it, Horatio.
What art thou that usurp'st this time of night, together with that fair and warlike form, in the majesty of buried Denmark? I sometimes march. By heaven, I charge thee, speak.
It is a flute.
See, it stops. Speak, speak, I charge thee, speak. 'Tis gone and will not answer. How now, Horatio? You tremble and look pale. Is this not something more than fantasy? What think you on it?
Before my God, I might not this believe, without the sensible and true avouch of mine own eyes.
Is it not like the king?
As thou art to myself, such was the very armor he had on when he, the ambitious Norway, combated. So frowned he once, when in an angry parley smote the sledded poleaxe on the ice. Strange indeed.
Thus twice before, and jump at this dread hour, with martial stock hath he gone by our watch.
In what particular thought to work I know not, but in the gross and scope of my opinion, this body's some strange eruption to our state.
Good, now sit down, and tell me he that knows, why the same strict and almost observant watch so nightly toils the subject of the land, and why such daily cast of brazen cannon and foreign mart for implements of war, why such impressive shipwrights, whose sore task does not divide the Sunday from the week, what might be toward the sweaty haste, doth make the night a joint laborer with the day. Who is it that can inform me? That can I. At least the whisper goes so. Our last king, whose image even but now appeared to us, was, as you know, by fort and brass of Norway, thereto picked on by a most eminent pride, dared to the combat, in which our valiant Hamlet, the soberest side of our known world esteemed him, did slay this fort and brass, who by a sealed compact, well ratified, by law and heraldry, did forfeit with his life all those his lands which he stood seized of, to the conqueror. Against the which a moiety competent was gaged by our king, which had returned to the inheritance of Fortinbras. Had he been vanquisher, as by the same calm art and carriage of the care of article desired, his fell to Hamlet. Now, sir, young Fortinbras, of unimproved metal hot and free, hath in the skirts of Norway here and there sharped up a list of lawless residents, of food and diet to some enterprise, and stomach, which is no other, as it doth well appear unto our state, but to recover of us by strong hand in terms compulsory, those foresaid lands so by us are lost, and this I take it as the main motive of our preparations, the source of our watch, and the chief head of this post-haste and rummage in the land. I think it be no other but then so. Well, may it sort that this pretentious figure comes armed through our watch so like the king that was and is the question of these wars.
A mote it is to trouble the mind's eye. In the most high and palmy state of Rome, a little near, the mightiest Julius fell. The grave stood tenantless, and the sheeted dead did squeak and gibber in the Roman streets. As stars with trains of fire and dews of blood, disasters in the sun, and the moist star upon whose influence Neptune's empire stands, was sick almost to doomsday with eclipse. And even the like precurse of feared events, as harbingers preceding still the fates, and prologue to the omen coming on, have heaven and earth together demonstrated unto our climatures and countrymen.
Enter Ghost.
But soft! Behold!
No, there it comes again. I'll cross it, though it blast me. Stay, illusion! It spreads its arm. If thou hast any sound or use of voice, speak to me. If there be any good thing to be done, that may to thee do ease and grace to me, speak to me. If thou art privy to thy country's fate, which happily foreknowing may avoid, oh! Speak, or if thou hast uphoarded in thy life exhorted treasures in the womb of the earth, for which they say your spirits offer a walk in death. The cock crows. Speak of it. Stay and speak. Stop it, Marcellus. Shall I strike it with my partisan?
Do, if it will not stand.
Tis here. Tis here.
Tis gone.
Exit Ghost. We do it wrong, being so majestical, to offer it the show of violence, for it is as the air, invulnerable, and our vain blows, malicious mockery.
Do
was about to speak when the clock crowed.
And then it started. A guilty thing. Upon a fearful summons I have heard. The cock, that is the trumpet to the morning, doth with his lofty and shrill sounding throat awake the god of day, and at his warning, whether in sea or fire, in earth or air, the extravagant and erring spirit hies to his confine. And of truth therein, this present object made probation.
It faded on the crowing of the crock. Some say that ever against the season comes wherein our Saviour's birth is celebrated, this bird of dawning singeth all night long. And then they say no spirit dare stir abroad. The nights are wholesome. Then no planets strike, no fairy tales, nor witch hath the power to charm. So halleth and so gracious is thy time.
So I have heard, and do in part believe it. But look, the morn, in russet mantle clad, walks there with the dew of yon high eastward hill. Break we our watch up, and by my advice let us impart what we have seen tonight unto young Hamlet. For upon my life this spirit dumb to us will speak to him. Do you consent?
We consent.
We shall acquaint him with it, as needful in our loves, fitting in our duty.
Let's do it, I pray. And I this morning know where we shall find him most convenient. And that is the end of scene one. Enjoy a few songs before we continue. seem to Picasso, Flourish, enter Claudius, King of Denmark, the Queen, Cassius, Polonius in the sun, Hamlet, Amelis, dear brother's death, the memory be green, and that it us befitted to bear our hearts in grief, and our whole kingdom to be contracted in one power. So far hath discretion fought with nature, that we with miser sorrow think of, together with remembrance of ourselves, therefore our sometime sister, now our queen, this warlike state, and with dirge and marriage, on equal scale, bright and dull, taken to wife. Nor have we here in Borg.
Pronto per tutto, la notte e il giorno, sempre di forno, in giro sta. Figlio cuccagna per un barbiere, nobile non lo si dà. La 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 la.
Holding a weak supposal of our work.
Raso di pettini, lancete forbici al mio comando, tutto mi sta. Lancete forbici, raso di pettini al mio comando, tutto mi sta.
Disadvantage. He hath not failed to pester us with this message, importing the surrender of those lands lost by his father with all bands of law to our most valiant brother. So much for him. Now for ourself, and for this time of meeting. Thus much the business is. We have here yet to know young Fortinbras, who impotent and bedridden, scarcely knows his nephew, as he presses further gates herein, in that the levies, out of his subject, and we here dispatch him, and you, giving to you no further personal power to business with the king, more than the scope of these deleted articles. Farewell, and let your haste command your duty. Cornelius, Voltemar, in that of all things will we show
quella parrucca, presto la barba, quella sanguigna, presto il biglietto, tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, quella parrucca, presto la barba, presto il biglietto, ehi, Figaro!
You cannot speak of reason to the Dane and lose your voice. What wouldst thou beg, Laertes?
Ahimè, ahimè, è furia, ahimè, è furia, 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 per carità, per carità, per carità, una alla volta, una alla volta, una alla volta, per carità.
My dead lord, whence though willingly I came to Denmark to show my duty and your cooperation. Yet now I must confess that duty done by my thoughts and wishes bring again to my France, and bow them to your grace esteem and pardon. Slowly,
I lay this in petition in the glass, and the
honours will I say to my heart consent. I think this intention,
give me this will. Take thy fortune, I say to my heart.
Sun.
Okay, I need to pick.
Good Hamlet, cast thy knighted colour off, and let thine eye look like a friend on Denmark. Do not forever with thy veiled lids seek for thy noble father in the dust. Thou knowest 'tis common, all that lives must die, passing through nature to eternity.
Aye, madame, it is common.
Why seems it so particular with thee?
Seems, madam. Nay, it is. I know not seems.
'Tis not alone in my inky cloak, good mother, nor customary spirits of solemn black, nor windy suspiration of forced breath, no, nor the fruitful river in the eye, nor the dejected haviour of the visage, together with all forms, moods, shapes of grief, that can denote me truly. These indeed seem, for they are actions that a man might play, but I have that within which passes show these but the trappings and suits of woe. 'Tis sweet and commendable in your nature, Hamlet, to keep these mourning duties to your father, but you must know your father lost a father. That father lost his, and the survivor bound in filial obligation for some term, to do obsequious sorrow. But to preserve an obstinate condolement is a course of impious stubbornness. 'Tis unmanly grief. It shows a will most incorrect to heaven, a heart fortified, a mind impatient, an understanding simple and unschooled. For what we know must be and is as common as any the most vulgar thing to sense. Why should we, in our peevish opposition, take it to heart? Fee, 'tis a fault of heaven, a fault against the dead, a fault to nature. To reason most absurd, whose common theme is death of fathers, and who still have cried from the first course till he that died. Forced accord of Hamlet sits smiling to my heart, in grace whereof no jocund health that Denmark drinks today, but the great cannon to the clouds shall tell, and the great king's rouse, the heaven shall brew it again, we speaking heavenly thunder. Exit all but Hamlet. Oh, this too solid flesh will wait. Weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world. Fee on it. Ah, fee. 'Tis an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possessing no name. Father's brother, but no more like my father than I to Hercules. Within a month ere, yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galed eyes, she married, oh, with most wicked speed to post, with such dexterity to incestuous sheets. It is not, nor cannot, come to any good, but break my heart, for I must hold my tongue. Hold, O tongue, hold. Enter Horatio, Marcellus, and Bernardo.
Hail to your lordship.
I'm glad to see you well, Horatio. Oh, I do forget myself.
The same, my lord.
and your poor servant ever.
Sir, my good friend, I'll change that name with you and make you from Wittenberg. Horatio? Marcellus? My good lord, I'm very glad to see you. Good evening, sir. But what, in faith, make you from Wittenberg?
A truant disposition. Good, my lord.
I would not hear your enemy say so, nor shall you do my ear that violence to make a truster of your own report against yourself. I know you are no truant. But what is your affair, Elsinore? I'll teach you to drink deep ale. As a man, take him for all in all, I shall not look upon his like again.
My lord, to speak of things, I saw him instant.
Saw? Who?
My lord.
Your father. The king, my father.
Season your admiration for a while, with an attent ear till I may deliver, upon the witness of these gentlemen, this marvel to you.
For God's love, sir, let me hear.
Two nights together, these gentlemen, Marcellus and Bernardo, on their watch, in the dead waste and middle of night, been thus encountered. A figure like your father, armed at point exactly, cap-a-pie, appears before them, and with solemn march goes slow and stately by them. Thrice he walked by their oppressed and fear-surprised eyes, within his truncheon's length, whilst they, distilled almost to jelly, with the act of fear, stand dumb and speak not to him. This to me, in dreadful secrecy, in part they did, and I with them the third night kept the watch, where, as they had delivered, both in time formed of the thing, each word made true and good. The apparition comes. I knew your father. These hands are not more like.
But where? Where was this? My lord, upon the platform where we watched. Did you not speak on it?
My lord, I did. But answer made it none. Yet once, methought, it lifted up its head and did address itself to motion, like as it would speak. But even then, the morning cock grew loud, and at the sound it shrunk in haste away, and vanished from our sight.
'Tis strange.
'Tis strange indeed. As I do live, my honored lord, 'tis true. And we did think it writ down in our duty to let you know of it.
Indeed, indeed, sirs. But this troubles me. Hold you the watch tonight?
We do, my lord.
Armed, say you?
Armed, my lord.
From up to toe?
My lord, from head to foot.
Then saw you not his face?
Yes, my lord. He wore his beaver up.
What, looked he frowningly?
A countenance more in sorrow than in anger.
Pale or red?
Nay, very pale.
And fixed his eyes upon you?
Most constantly, sir. It would have very much amazed him.
Very likely. arms. Oh no, all is not well. I doubt some foul play would the knight were come. Till then, sit still, my soul. Foul deeds will rise.
And that's the end of scene two.
Enjoy the music, fellas.
Thank you.
von Stimmen und Freuden, Freuden voller Freude,
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 schöne Götterfunken, Tochter aus Elysium. Wir betreten feuertrunken, himmlische dein Heiligtum. Deine Zauber binden wieder, was die Mode streng geteilt. Alle Menschen werden Brüder, wo dein sanfter Flügel weint.
Fashion in a toy in blood, a violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent, sweet, not lasting. The perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more. No more, but so. Think it no more. For nature crescent does not grow alone in thews and bulk, but as this temple waxes, the inward service of the mind and soul grows wide withal. Perhaps he loves you now, and now nor soil nor cortel doth besmirch the virtue of his will. But you must fear his greatness, Wade. His will is not his own, for he himself is not subject to his birth. He may not, as unvalued persons do, carve for himself, for on his choice depends the safety and health of this poor state, and therefore must his choice be circumscribed. Circumscribed, of course, unto the voice and yielding of that body whereof he is the head. Then if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it, as he in particular, act and place, may give his same deed, which is no further than the main voice, of which dumb life fills the law. Then lay what loss your honour may sustain, if with too prudent ear you list his songs, or lose his heart, or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity. Fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister, and keep you in the way of your affection, as the short and dangerous desire of the cherished maid. Virtue itself escapes not hammer strokes, but canker, coils, the infant of his virtue, all the buttons be disclosed, and in the morn, in liquid dew of youth, contagious blasphemies are most imminent. Be wary then, best safety lies in fear. Youth to itself rebels, though none else near. Shall the effect of this good lesson keep, as watchmen to my heart? But good, my brother, do not, as some ungracious pastors do, show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, rise like a puff in endlessly the time. Himself the primrose path, a dalliance treads, and recks not his own lead. Penza Polonius.
Oh, fear me not. I stay too long. But here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon a second leave.
Polonius.
Yet here, Laertes. Aboard, aboard. For shame. The wind sits in the shoulder of your sail, and you are stayed for. There, my blessing goes with thee. And these few precepts in thy memory, look thou, character. Give thy thoughts no tongue, nor any unproportioned thought his act. Be thou familiar, but by no means be vulgar. Thus, those friends thou hast, in their adoption tried, grapple them onto thy soul with hopes of steel, but do not daw thy palm with entertainment of each new thatched, unfledged courage. Beware of entrance to a quarrel, but being in birth, that the opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thine ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but to reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habits, as thy house can buy. Who has blessed in fancy rich and gory, for the apparel that claims the man, and they in France are blessed of rank and station. Or a most select and generous shall permit. Neither a borrower nor a lender, for a loan oft loses itself in friend, and prone to the rage of husbandry. This above all line is something true, and it must follow as the night to the day. Thou canst not be forced any man. Farewell. My blessing sees on this in thee. Most humbly do I take my leave, my lord. The time invites you. Go, your servant's tend. Farewell, Ophelia. And remember well what I've said to you, yes? In my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep the key. With that, farewell.
Farewell.
Exit Laertes.
What is it, Ophelia? What do you accept of?
So please you. Something touching Lord Hamlet. Marry, well be thought. It is told me. Your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, and as so, it is put on me, and that in way of caution I must tell you, you do not understand yourself so clearly. As it feels my daughter and your honor, what is it between you? Give me the truth. He hath, my lord, of late many tenders of his affections to me.
Affections?
Booh! I speak like a green girl. Sifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenderness, as he called me?
I do not know,
my lord. But I should think. Mary, I will teach you. Think yourself a baby that you have tea. These tenders for true pay, which are not sterling. Tender yourself more dearly, or, not to crack the wind of the poor phrase, tendering it thus, you'll render me a fool. My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Eh, fashion, that's what they call it. Go to.
I have given circumstance to his speech, my lord. I almost wore the bloody vows of heaven.
Eh, syringes to catch woodcocks. I would know. When the blood burns, our prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extinct in both, even in their premise, as it is a making. You must not take but fire. From this time be something scanter to your maiden presence. Set your entreatment at a higher late. For Lord Hamlet, believe so much in him that he is young, and with a larger tale may he walk, that be me given to you. Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not that of dye which their investments show, but mere implorators of unholy suits, breathing like sanctified and pious bonds, the better of the tangle. This is for all.
I would not complain, Clarence, from this time forward that you shall slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Look to it, I charge you, in your ways.
I shall obey, my lord.
And with that, my friends, scene 4 of Shakespeare's Hamlet is over. And that's probably all we have time for today. I hope some of you enjoyed this. But anyway, back to the music. And that is an end to our show, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next week at 95.9 FM for more wacky adventures. Next week we might be doing something on Soviet Russia, for all you know.
We asked some of our friends in the community why they support CKUW 95.9 FM.
Hi, I'm George Samoleski, CKUW enthusiast.
I'm a Manitoban my entire life. I play with a local band called Propagandy.
Years growing up in Portage La Prairie, the only sort of non-corporate radio that we could tap into was late night CBC. And when I moved to Winnipeg, there was a lot of initiatives trying to get radio stations going at both campuses. And it just seemed like it was such a valuable initiative. So that's when I first heard about it. It was actually the old A-Zone 91 Albert days. There was a lot of people coming through with requisitions to get certain programming on the fledgling station. And as it was coming about, I remember Paul Burrows going around with a little thing to try to get Democracy Now on the new station. And it all happened. And like from day one, we were there working at our old record label office downtown in 91. We'd have it, playing all day long. You know, we'd start our day listening to Democracy Now and open up the email and kind of, you know, start packaging some records and stuff like that in our little workshop. And we had CKUW on kind of right from the get-go. Over the years, being a student at the U of M, taking criminology classes or whatever, it would point in these things where